All right, welcome to the Ops Team, Episode 8. We have the magical round here of pointing device. I happen to be the pitcher on the pointing device. I'm back.
Yeah, there we go.
Wes O's.
Yes.
I need to start that one. I'll show you the point. When we do the spinner, we'll get there.
Okay.
What's the show about, man?
Yeah. Well, the Ops Team. We're all about educating the Ops folks out there on what's new, what's hot coming from Microsoft. So it's good stuff across all of our areas of expertise.
And it's the show before the holiday break.
Correct.
And so you will not be hearing from the Ops Team again for at least 2 weeks, or as the Brits over here call it, a fortnight.
Correct, because it is 14 nights.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what
that's
it stands
a fortnight.
For? I don't think anyone's ever explained that to me before. Yeah. I love that.
Major facepalm.
A fortnight. I love it.
All right.
So we'll be back in the new year in January and that sort of time frame there. But as always, what we do, the spinner.
That's right.
And
5 minutes. Keep us on time.
So just
here.
For holiday cheer, David made sure that he wore his sweater.
See,
so the rest of us have nice sweaters going on.
Now this week, is the left screen live or the right screen?
Do you need to figure this one out? The one that says preview is not live.
Oh, sorry.
The one that's
bionic
red
eyesight.
Is live.
Okay.
Matt.
Right. Over here.
Matt sent out.
And you held the spinner to there. And it
no,
was
I had it flipped. I flipped
right.
it.
All right.
See, look, that's how fast I can do the flips.
You are.
Like that, and then like this. It's back to you again.
He's
like a pro.
He's showing off his skills.
Oh, you know what? We could even go over to the special all view if you wanted to. And then back to you guys.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. But people listening don't care. All right. Okay. They're just like get on with it. All right. Okay. I will say though, because Matt did send out the TPS report on the sweater.
Yeah.
I did not get the memo because he sent it to the Channel 9 alias is where we can all
the
Ops tweets.
Team, which
I think he actually checked it into GitHub and he didn't accept it. He didn't accept his merge request.
It was a push request for all of us to wear sweaters.
Okay, okay. You guys can't really see the spinner because it's too many laptops. So,
are you spinning?
Am I spinning?
So you get the spin.
All right. Are we not doing a parade of sweaters before we start?
We'll do that at the end.
All right.
Yeah, let's all right.
Probably too hot. Where she goes, where she stops, nobody knows. And it's going to be the devices, guys.
That means I have to change the order in the editing. It's been the same for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It really
the random spinner has been less than random recently.
Yeah, it's been fixed.
I'm also confirming that he does not have a stopwatch. Watch running.
No.
Right.
So he cannot cheat.
Okay. So I'm going to start my timer, which I'll add is running on build 11082.
No.
Just saying. Nice. Of Windows 10. And here we go. Your 5 minutes starts.
Thank you for the beautiful segue into build 11082 of Windows 10. That is a good place to start. There's actually a new build out there that insiders can go and consume, build 11082, which is the start of the next phase of Windows after what was Threshold. We're now into to something new, codename Redstone, which is where we're going to start seeing a whole load of cool new stuff.
Okay, I've got to ask you.
Appearing inside of, I have no idea what they mean.
No, come on. Redstone? You got to have something.
Redstone, we're all wearing red. It's Christmas spirit. I don't know.
Well,
yeah,
I'm assuming it ties into Minecraft of some way.
I have
Redstone inside of Minecraft.
No idea.
No.
Literally no idea at all.
For the next episode, Simon will reveal the nature behind the codenames.
I'll see if I can understand the codenames. normally the codenames are run through, for Microsoft to run through LCA, and they have to be something which can't be copyrighted, like a mountain. We went for mountains for a very long time. Islands, hence the Ibiza portal.
Okay.
So what's
is that the
what's
same
hot
as Ibiza?
Redstone?
Well, Ibiza. Yeah.
Yeah. What, sorry, why should we care about Redstone? Tell us.
We can't say yet.
Okay.
It's a little bit early.
The foundation is out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Things will start to light up.
Just trust us. You should download it.
There's going to be new
join
features
the insider
coming
preview.
Out. So people need to kind of get into the place of actually starting to roll through with Windows. And that was going to be my first thing. Over the course of the last week, we released, or rather Microsoft IT, released a white paper. Dull, boring, on our internal deployment of Windows 10, which is anything but dull and boring, because as you can kind of see, we're all running Windows 10, right? Nobody's on
correct
Windows 8 still. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. But actually, 96,000 employees inside of Microsoft were upgraded to Windows 10 prior to release, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Details that are inside of the white paper. Some other fun things inside the white paper. All deployed through Configuration Manager. Which is running on the 15.11 version of Configuration Manager, which Microsoft IT upgraded to in a weekend.
Wow.
And then subsequent after that weekend, we upgraded over 100,000 clients, because we have more PCs than we have people at Microsoft. So they all upgraded over the course of that weekend.
Nice.
Pretty impressive, yeah. Actually.
I know that on the receiving end of that, it was, I was like, I just came into work and I was like, Windows 10, that works, okay, all right.
Well, I got to say, I was on the receiving end of it as well, but it was ill-timed because I kept on hitting delay.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it anymore, and they finally gave me the, this machine will be upgraded today or within 4 hours.
Gross. Do it now.
It's, this document's great because it actually tells you about some of the strategy that they had. So we actually, you've probably noticed this, we do a couple of different ways of getting to that upgrade. So you can go in and self-select to do your own upgrade, so you can boot from a PXE server, do the installation that way. You can kick it off in a couple of ways through the UI, and we also have a push-based installation as well. Underpinning all that, it's System Center Configuration Manager and MDT, and it's Windows 10 doing in-place upgrades, which is the other thing. Those upgrades have all been in place, which means that we haven't had to strip out the operating system, re-image the machine, redeploy it, use a state migration tool to push everything back down. In-place upgrade means that we can keep rolling through and deploying those updates. So as we start to see that new enterprise functionality that we expect to see with the next builds of Windows, then we'll start to be able to put this stuff in place. Kind of cool. Next thing I want to draw attention to was around Microsoft Intune, and in fact, actually, more directly, iOS 9.2 being released. This caused everybody in the mobile device management industry a bit of a problem last week because Apple changed some stuff without actually kind of explaining that there was going to be stuff
naughty
changed.
Apple. It's a bad Apple.
Yeah, there was a bad Apple. We've successfully worked with Apple to mitigate all but two issues, which probably are going to require Apple to produce a fix for 9.2. But there's an Intune blog post which will pop into all of the resources that should help folks to just understand what went through that. And the two things that that you can't do with 9.2 are report application installation status, and you can't report compliant, non-compliant applications that are on a block or an allow list, which you may well want to be able to do. So those are worth looking into. And then the other thing that I just wanted to draw attention to, being as it's holiday time and things are a little bit more relaxed at this point, there's a little bit less news out there. Saw this awesome tweet come out from
the ops team.
I wish it was, because it's so awesome. But for a couple of us around this table, sorry, Rick, not actually you. Those of us that graduated in computer science in the early 2000s. Woohoo!
That's a ding on the fact that I've got a fine arts degree that's not quite finished. Is that what it is?
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
Picasso over there.
These things are kind of amazing. When you took your database classes, NoSQL didn't exist. When you...
Go on, I'm intrigued. It's story time.
Yeah, this is actually story time.
So, I need a pipe and slippers.
When you took computer graphics, OpenGL support hadn't arrived. When you did security, nobody knew about a botnet. They hadn't been invented yet. When you looked at computer languages, there was no reactive programming at all. When you had a look at artificial intelligence, we didn't know what deep learning was. Deep learning is the basis for all of Azure ML, so we just didn't know about that. It wasn't discovered at that point in time. In distributed systems, there was no such thing as the cloud. That's just awesome. We didn't have that in 2000 whatsoever.
Nice.
In networking, there was no Wi-Fi.
I remember I remember back in college. I ran cables, right? And I was showing people the hubs and switches and making your own Ethernet cables and all that stuff. Yeah.
I was doing it with coax and BNC, and it was
Guys kill me. I was doing all that 20 years before. I was 88 when I started. Jeez.
At the pedestal as you were drawing somebody nude.
I was removing ArcNet is what I was doing. Disconnecting serial cables to the green terminals.
Just turn to the left and hold that cable in a slightly nicer way.
All right.
And there's one final thing for Matt as well. Just specifically for Matt, because I know he's going to love this one. In operating systems, there was no hypervisor.
Oh, nice.
Well,
oh.
I mean, it was the dark ages.
Yeah, really. It was the dark ages.
Everything was utilizing about 4% of the machine it was on with your 2 meg of RAM.
Just 15, almost 16 years ago.
Wow.
Nice.
Kind of scary. Okay.
Spin around. Here we go.
I had a question while it's spinning, actually, on the upgrade process for Windows 10. because my Surface Pro 3 hard drive isn't that big. I tend to remove the Windows.old folder using disk cleanup. Is that what most people
That's
should
supported.
Be doing?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah, you know, go through and do that afterwards. You can also go through,
because it doesn't do it automatically, does it? As part of the upgrade.
No, it's it is actually worth doing if you need to reclaim the space.
Sometimes the space can be quite big. So.
You can also use a compact install if you've got like a very small hard disk, like a 16 gigabyte one. If you do setup/compact, it will actually do a compact install of Windows,
as opposed to adding HP to it. Compact HP.
Oh, very good. Wow.
Azure is next, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Set that timer up.
Do it.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but we'll figure that out when it comes out.
Okie doke. Right. We are ready with the timer. We all set. You ready?
It's about time.
It's about.
Yes, we are about to start the timer in 3, 2, 1.
My goodness. Azure and Azure stuff that was going on. Last week, I forget what it was. Did I even mention it in the show? I was doing a Dev Test Labs webinar.
What you mentioned last week and the week before was, as your backup.
Well, hey, just listen to me.
Retainer service.
The Dev Test webinar has been completed, is now available on demand.
Right.
To be able to go off and see.
Point number one.
Like number one. And I will say that it was kind of interesting because if you've been in the industry as long as I have, doing evangelism for the last 10 years... the technology for webinars has gone just completely whacked out and different. But then if once in a while you use a service that ends up like taking you back in time. This was like one of those webinar services where I felt like I was back in 1997 doing like a live meeting or something
for those lovely ones.
But anyway, the neat thing about it though is that we were able to go in and to change up some of the stuff to make it so that it was a pre-recorded so that you can go in and view it after the fact in better fidelity, which is kind of cool. Anyway, the link in the show notes there in case you're interested. There were three sessions on this particular Dev Test webinar series. One is simply Dev Test on Azure All Up. One is on how to create self-service environments with Dev Test Labs. We've talked about that before. And then also mine was about ASR, being able to use Azure Site Recovery as one method to be able to go off and to move and create your Dev Test environments up inside of the Azure environment if you wanted to.
Nice.
Very cool stuff. They actually had a Azure Backup /ASR Ask Me Anything that came up after that one. And the Ask Me Anything is now available and posted for you to take a look at on Reddit. And they, believe it or not, this is interesting because it's specifically around the Azure Backup team that did this one. And, you know, go ahead, ask questions. Here you go. Here's what you can do. Here's the people that are being participating in this one here. So they had a big bunch of people that are participating. Guess how many questions there were?
91.
I know, because I told you before the show started. <It's> like 91 comments and questions.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember.
You get the prize.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But, you know, they're talking about stuff about support for Azure ARM services for using ASR and for backup, because currently it's a little bit of a hole that we have in our backup strategy that is able to be filled, and they actually tell you how you can go off and back up ARM-based machines with a couple of scripts to be able to get things done as one option. They talk about, you know, bringing the new stuff into the platform coming in. They talked about actually having more information coming up in the January timeframe, so that's kind of cool.
Stay tuned.
For some new things that are coming out. It goes on and on and on. Actually, some good stuff, good interactions in there. AMAs are kind of cool if you've never done one before. Literally, it's from our perspective, what we do is someone sets it up and gets asked to be able to do one, and then they bring you into this little conference room and you sit around and huddle around a table. And then you've got someone monitoring them, posting the questions up, and you got four or five guys that are sitting there typing away in the answers, and it gets pasted back in again. So it's kind of an interesting war room experience to get that one done.
Yeah. So the questions are filtered in terms of somebody intercepts them on your side.
They're never filtered. With the Reddit platform, obviously, I could be a complete idiot and ask a question that's in there, and it's still going to be there.
Like, what's that?
Whether or not you choose to answer it is a different thing. But with AMA, the policy is you're supposed to answer, ask me anything.
Yeah.
And it's there. And there's actually a couple of questions there in there that's very specific about scenarios. So I've got this kind of thing going on. I want to have blah, 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 blah. And they actually go through and they break it down. They answer the question and they have it all done. Rather cool. So I always like the AMAs, not necessarily when they're live. It's kind of like watching paint dry. So I prefer them when they're done and then going back and checking in on them to see what it's like. For interesting stuff that's there. So that's the AMA that's up there and live and ready to go. Now, I was going to go off and steal all your thunder and talk about the stuff that you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, but I told you about that this morning.
Yeah, I know, but I knew it was there because I've been following it there too. I'll just simply mention there's some really cool stuff with Store Simple and things like that.
No. Which means I have to now include a link at this point.
You're going to be including a link, and I can give you about seven different links if you want. But I'm not going to talk more about it, but simply saying that there is some cool stuff for Store Simple that I'll leave to my colleague to be able to go
well, it does reside on premises. So
one thing I want to say to your first announcement, DevTest Lab self-service environment, that is where I will say that that's ties into the DevOps world, right? Because that whole self-service DevTest thing is exactly one of the things you should be doing. And as an IT person, right, you shouldn't be clicking through docs to deploy stuff.
Right.
You need to be like infrastructure as code. It needs to be adding value where dev guys is just like, oh, boom, I want to go to them because they've got the stuff going on, right?
Yep.
Just click a button. I've got an environment in minutes, right?
Totally seen all this time.
Yeah.
What? No, I will gratefully take any commentary questions. This 5-minute segment that we have is not just for me to disseminate information. It's also for active and lively discussion.
Absolutely.
Around various different things.
Yep. So we've got 5 seconds.
I've got more than that, I hope.
I did say, was eating all your time.
There is a...
Told you.
Oh,
see,
wow. Well,
you should have, if you had something else and you knew that another announcement, you should have taken the other one, not his.
Yeah.
Well done. What was your other bit on? I'll steal it.
No, it's all right. I'll leave it for you. I'll leave it for you to talk about Store Simple stuff. So
okay.
I'll add in if I require.
What was your other bit at the end? Was it Store Simple? Or was
All
right.
Okay. Well, then that's fine.
Yep.
All right. So it's one of us on the other side of the table here.
Here we go. Which one's it going
to
be?
Who is it? Last one.
Spinning around.
It's fine. Aggressive.
Spinner.
Who's going? Round, who's going?
Round,
who's going?
Round.
So I guess it'd be me.
Closest to,
to
it's,
me.
It's backwards.
Just,
look, it's David.
Oh,
there
it's
you
me.
Go.
All right.
There's method
okay.
to this madness.
Get
ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Tell
fire
us
away.
About, tell us about Ops Dev.
Fire away.
Here we go.
Ops
3, 2, 1.
Okay, first item that I have is we released a new release management service, Hands-On Lab. So one of the problems that we see, or I see a lot out there with customers, is there's a release management process which involves lots of manual steps, and maybe somebody has a document that has everything that's there, and there's different teams and handoffs and all these things, and like deployments often are like, let's get together in a war room and get things deployed, right? Well, having release management and a release management process is something we have a new service that we had announced in preview back at Connect for. And we have a Hands-On Lab now to help you walk through that. One of the good things I'll also point out is that you do not have to be using Visual Studio Team Services in order to utilize release management. So if your organization uses, let's say, TFS or even does builds of their product in Jenkins, you can push that build up into our service and actually orchestrate any number series of steps. It could be deploy my infrastructure. It could be run this backup task. It could be whatever the things that you have that are documented or things you need to do. You have now have an automation platform to get that series of steps released into production, right? So help save time, help be an evolved ops person to automate, right? And so I want to call that out right now. That's one of my first major item.
What does it use for automation then?
So the way that Visual Studio Team Services works in our new build system is that it's really just it's a task orchestration engine, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's run a PowerShell script, run a batch script, run a shell script,
it could be OMS automation runbook, or
runbook, whatever it is, and you can orchestrate those in order, and those you have a pool of build agents that execute those tasks.
Right.
Those agents could be on premises, right? So that's the other cool thing is that service, even though it is in the cloud, it can run agents locally. So as long as the agent has the ability to access the cloud service, right, over the secure channel, it could execute stuff all on your local LAN, local network to do deploys or, you know, do DSC to provision the local resources or whatever it is. Right?
Would you need a build agent if you were using something like DSC, though, for instance? So it would trigger a DSC and that would control
10
nodes on premises. Would those 10 nodes need the build agent or not? I don't suppose.
Well, so you would probably, I mean, if you had like a pool server, right, you would probably have a task which then, you know, pushes to the pool server and then, you know,
the pool server does it work.
The pool server does its work, and then goes to nodes. Or provision a node which connects to the pool server and you have a separate task which pushes the bits, then pushes it down, right? So it's really up to you on however you want to orchestrate things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other things that I have, there is a DevOps Dimension episode, episode 1 actually, that's really good, I think, for any ops person who wants to kind of know what things are like in a DevOps world. How is your role change? What does it look like? we have it's like 40 over 45 minutes of time where we have an actual a dev and an ops person who have lived pre-DevOps and are now living in have been living in the DevOps kind of way of doing work for quite a while now, and they explain, you know, what is that like, right? So, you know, in a fully automated continuous deployment integration release management, a lot of these DevOps practices have been implemented. What's the role of the ops guy, right? And then also it's a bit of a shift for like the dev guy, right? Because dev guy is now supporting production and operations stuff, right? So that's a bit of a shock as well. So, you know, that episode we dive more into that and give the firsthand experience of how things are changed. So yeah, that's my other item there. Another item that I have is the recently released this Azure Release Management template for Application Insight Web Tests. So in your JSON, in your infrastructure as code, you can specify using our Application Insight service, right? We have like, I think it's like 15 points of presence around the world in the service, you know, Japan, wherever. You can specify test in code and have it and update those tests to say, now it's going to be, you know, pinging every 5 minutes and giving me data on availability of service in the Azure RM template. So that template is new, and the ability to do that is new, which is very directly applicable to ops people. You want to, you know, have monitoring alerts and rules in code, check it in. Now monitoring whatever you want around the world. So pretty cool stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
In Japan or wherever.
Well, one of the 15 points. Yeah, Japan or, you know, Australia, you know, Chicago, you know, Miami, whatever. Then the last item I have is...
They keep looking at the timer.
I know. I know.
You know you've not much time left.
I know. That's why I'm speeding up here. Last item that I have is the Git credential manager. Yes, I mentioned Git again. There we go.
And that's what happens.
I want to hear about this one.
So it's really, I recommend for any ops person that's trying to learn Git that you'd use command line and not try and use, you know, Visual Studio, Team Services, or some other just Git for Windows thing, because otherwise you don't understand what's actually going on of how to do things. But if you do start using the command line or, you know, shell or PowerShell script or whatever, especially with Visual Studio, Team Services, or Git, you often have credentials you have to put in every time you want to pull or push, you know, code up and back. Well, the credential manager, like, as soon as you do it the first time, it actually saves those credentials. So it really saves you a bunch of time. And I know that when I've done these things in front of even customers, they're like, whoa, how did you do that? I want that, right? And I'm like, well, it's just this credential manager thing, but not everybody knows about it. So,
but this is a project that you actually have to go and install an app on
your
machine.
Exactly.
It's deprecated. It replaces a now deprecated one.
Right.
That was a hack to get it to work.
Right.
That's one still stuck on my machine.
Right.
I'm trying to get the new credential manager installed.
Okay.
Definitely a strong recommendation. Go off and use that. Yeah. I also concur. Use the command line. We're getting flaky lighting going on in here. So I don't know if we paid our UPS bill or not.
I just switched on one of the servers in our lab.
Oh, okay. Nice. So I'm looking forward to the link about having to use the credential manager. I think it's just a simple install, right?
It's really easy, yeah. I mean, you do the same thing you've been doing command line, but after you install it, it's like magic happens, and your credentials are all just working when you connect up the stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Good stuff.
Yep.
You don't even need a spin. All just you.
It's you.
It's all me.
All you, buddy.
All about me, right.
All you.
So I'll start my timer. Hang on. Here we go. Oh, I need to give you a round of applause.
Woo!
Right, so here we go on 5 minutes for mine. And there we go. So infrastructure stuff, real technology as we continue to hammer home. The on-premises stuff, but I'm actually going to start with something you stole earlier on when I gave you the inspiration for it. And it's a link. It's a hybrid that we have going on between ourselves and
together.
Our sweaters. Yeah. And that is the StorSimple Virtual Array Preview. Now, if you're not familiar with StorSimple, it is an acquisition Microsoft made a couple of years ago. It is SAN technology, which actually does in some ways contradict our software-defined storage approach with storage spaces built into Windows Server. But still, nonetheless, we have a storage appliance that customers can buy. And this storage appliance is very specialized. It's at least the previous models were iSCSI-based storage. And it has inbox tiering, but then a third layer of tiering that is in the cloud. So for instance, I could be using it as an iSCSI SAN for my SharePoint infrastructure. The hot files are moved to SSD locally on the appliance. the colder files are moved to disk, and then the coldest files are pushed up to cloud, in cloud being Azure. There's our connection.
Nice.
But I believe there is now support for additional clouds as well with Store Simple. It's not just Azure. But obviously, we want to push Azure. But now, what we're bringing to market is a preview of the virtual array. And the reason this sits in my camp is you run it on premises, you download the appliance, and I'll include the link in the blog or in the notes. And it's not just about Hyper-V either. Heterogeneous is a strong strategy for Microsoft now, so you can run it on Hyper-V or VMware vSphere, so ESXi. Download the right appliance. It can be configured as a file server, so NAS-based, if you're still going down that route with vSphere, or as iSCSI. And essentially, same kind of thing applies as the physical appliance. The hottest data is locally on the appliance. The coldest data gradually will move further and further away up into the cloud. And when it's needed, it's just brought back down. You know, so it's seamless, it's intuitive, easy to use, but it does loads of stuff. And the blog post helps with that. So like I say, multi-protocol, NAS and iSCSI, you can pin files that are important to you. So if you think, well, this file or this set of files should always be on the fastest tier, that's fine. You can make that decision instead of just allowing the system to do it. And it offers things like item level recovery as well. So users can restore their own files from recent backups. And so Store Simple is as much about a SAN or a storage device as it is about DR. Now you can still buy new versions of the physical appliance as well. I don't think we've released pricing on what the virtual appliance will look like. And you manage it all now through the Azure portal. I don't know if it's the new, it looks like the classic portal from the blog. It doesn't look like it's the portal formerly known as Abitha.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But loads of useful stuff on that. Now sticking with storage, because storage is awesome. How many in the room, a show of hands, have used SQLio to test disk performance ever or heard of it?
I'm an iometer guy myself. Yeah,
so SQLio is pretty popular to test disk subsystems, so performance, how much bandwidth you can throw at your back-end system, but that is being retired. So only a tiny bit of news on that if you do use it. But we're going with a newer tool called Disk Speed, or DSKSPD, and I'll provide links to both of the tools, but obviously go with Disk Speed. So if you're looking to deploy things like storage spaces in your infrastructure and you want to test your configuration before you start rolling out stuff on there, then Disk Speed is a tool that you can utilize. And there are some great scripts actually on the Technic Gallery that help you test overall health and performance of your storage spaces configuration, and I'll provide links to those as well in the
Disk Speed to you.
What?
Disk Speed.
I don't like where that's going. Right, third bit of news for me, a chap who some of you may be familiar with, posts a lot of videos on Channel 9, Ryan Sokolowski, tricky name to pronounce, at least the surname, Ryan's quite easy. He's posted a load of videos on his Channel 9 page that's entitled Windows Server Storage and More. There's a storage theme going on here that we'll get broken in the next point. But he's got loads of stuff on storage, from replica, creating partnerships, running test reports, stretch cluster, complete walkthroughs. So some real useful how-tos on doing stuff with the Windows Server 2016 storage stack. A lot of it is focused on replica, storage quads, those kind of things. So definitely check that out. It's just a bit of a tip of the hat to him because he's been beavering away on all of this stuff, and I want to get him some
beavering away.
Beavering is away. Yeah,
that is a new
he's
one
been
to
beavering
me.
Away.
As long as he's not saying beavering away.
Yeah, I mean, what he stuff. Listens to while he's building
not
these
the
things.
No,
you know, he might be a belieber.
Oh boy!
Nice.
Right, my final bit of news. I don't know how long I've got. I presume I've got enough. A couple of, a month or two ago, I got in the studio with the guys from the Nano Server team. I've started, so I'll finish.
Yes.
With the Nano Server team, and they're always really passionate about telling you how to use Nano Server, how it works, and showing you cool things. Because Technical Preview 4 was released, we went back into the studio and added an updated module to our course, specifically on Technical Preview 4 updates. So the course was based on Technical Preview 3 of 2016. Technical Preview 4 as a module aggregates all of the new stuff and brings you up to speed. And we'll continue to do that where it makes sense as we go through from Technical Preview to Technical Preview. So definitely check that out. It's worthwhile. If you haven't watched any of it, watch it from the beginning. If you've watched some of it already, just check out the new module.
Bring the nano hotness.
Yeah, bring the nano hotness. It's a marketing term you will not see us probably use publicly, but we all agree that should be.
Nice.
Bring the nano hotness. And that's me in exactly five
that's
minutes.
That's the wrap.
So,
So we have, from the Twitters, we have, it looks like there's apparently Steve Belton was commenting about a possible secondhand Matt McSpear fan club.
So there's a story behind that. So we were at, I think it was an internal TechReady conference, and he came and sat on the front row. So this is like an internal Ignite, if you will, for educating our field. We all know, obviously, I'm telling you. And he came and sat on the front row, just unzipped his jacket, and he had a photo of my face on his shirt.
Wow.
Stolen from a Facebook picture where I'm wearing some kind of dodgy hat. And it just threw me at the start of my presentation.
That's as it only could.
Right on the front row. Somebody take him out.
Hector was mentioning that he'd like to have the blog links and resources available inside the credits, sorry, in the description. I'm like, Hector, we actually have them there. We'll have to show you how to be able to find them in case you're interested. All the links and time codes are in there. Mm-hmm. And then Anders Manson, was coming up and saying, loves the concept, 5 minutes. 5 minutes of time is great, which is obvious, and it's a good time for us to be able to go off and give you the information that we can. And we're up 13 followers.
Woo-hoo.
We're at 160 something.
That is nearly a 10% increase.
Yeah. 160 something. I checked just recently. We're up 13 because I did the math, but I forgot what the original number was.
And
so we're there.
So I think the only thing we finally need to do is show everybody.
Yep.
The sweaters as we sign off, okay?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Let's see the cameras facing you guys, so go ahead jumpers. First. Say your Twitter handle and go.
Boy. So this is at Matt McSpirit. I'll put my hood up.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Over here,
I've got hood hair for the rest of the day.
David did not get the service request to be able to put it on. That's
maybe I'll have a post-Christmas. Just
there you go.
Be the only, the opposite, the only guy that has a sweater.
Your homework
you know?
Is to take a picture of you in a Christmas sweater with the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
I would like servers, switches, 10 gig.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, over here, my kids bought me this just literally yesterday.
it's a good fit.
At sign Rickster CDN, I got to suck in my Christmas cheer.
Wow. Ho, ho, ho.
At sign PsyMonster.
Nice little penguins that are there. Yeah. And obviously we are at sign
very,
the
very
ops.
Linux, very open source.
I am wearing an open source.
You got it. If you want to get a hold of us on the Twitters individually, you can do that. Or also at sign the ops team. Or you can even email us at theopsteam@microsoft.com. Mm-hmm. And with that, as I queue up my departure, I'm going to say...
Well, our departure.
Season's greetings. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry
holidays,
whatever it is that you happen to celebrate. And we'll talk to you in the new year.
Bye.
Bye.